Oh, I didn't warn you about this before I started recording. Do you remember the case in Alabama, the radio station?
Right.
Is it okay to talk about that one?
Tim Turner's case? Yeah. Not a problem.
Okay. Because Tim, on this call, he has said a lot that if you have a counterclaim, and they have a claim, the judge cannot proceed to the claim until he addresses the counterclaim. And another thing they like to do is they don't like this admiralty thing if they're in a state court, and they just pretend they don't know what it is and it's not there. Would you like to share what you know about that, what happened there?
I'll tell you what I know. I don't know the entire case. I know what both Tim has told me, and I know what I've read. I've gone on to PACER, which is the internet-based court record system for being able to check online cases, and I looked at pretty much every document. I noticed that there was a continual going back and forth, the judge usurping his authority and Tim and Jack responding with, "You don't have my permission," and it was a back and forth several times where the judge would authorize sanctions and dismiss all the bonds. And if you really read it closely, you would see he was still asking for permission. It was kind of interesting. And then Tim and Jack would then respond with a typical motion, basically just denying the judge permission to remove his liens. His liens were done in a jurisdiction which the judge cannot step into by law. And that's why they have to ask permission so that they can come into that jurisdiction and dismiss those liens. And if you don't respond, you're going to end up with basically the judge doing the same thing that Tim is doing to the people who did not respond. You acquiesce and you end up ultimately losing your counterclaim. So Tim did it right. He filed it, recorded it with the Secretary of State. I don't know whether he did it with the county recorder's office, but he did it personally on all the law firms, lawyers, and these guys are tied up.
That's wonderful. Now, did he go through three judges, each trying to dismiss the counterclaim?
You know, I'm not sure how that worked out, but I do know that three judges that were tied somehow to the case have ultimately retired early. And I do have a copy of some paperwork from the court showing that the bond was reduced to half the size for one of the people and within the court. I'm not sure who it was. But the point being is they became unbondable. And ultimately for them to salvage the balance of the judges to be able to, and this is my understanding, I'm not 100% on this, but these three judges retired early, and they all were tied to this case, and now this particular court is either having problems getting bonding or they're doing another form of bonding through getting an insurance policy.
Okay. Now, if we did this, Tim used to tell us not to do the judge, but he said, go ahead and do the administrative process against the judge, but do not file a UCC-1 against the judge.
I've heard that.
He said, file the UCC-1 against the courthouse that the judge is in and the court, and to get their Dun and Bradstreet number and put that on the UCC-1, and that causes their bond rating to go way down and their interest rate to go the wrong direction.
Every courtroom has a individual tax identification number as well, so you need to find that when you're putting it on your maritime lien.
What's that number called? Individual
tax identification number. It's an EIN number.
Oh, and that's specific to the courthouse itself?
No, specific to the courtroom.
Okay. Okay, we can investigate that later. Okay. And now, when we file these on the public record at the Secretary of State, what mechanism is it that causes the bond rating to be notified to put a negative mark against their bond and to start giving these guys some troubles?
Well, I don't know if I can answer that because that's it sounds like a chain or a cycle that goes from a filing through an administrative, you know, or a functional process on, that the government does. But what I've done personally, and it's public record, is I have done an administrative negative averment against the city of Huntington Beach. I've rethought my way of doing things, and because of the history that I have, and I've got a lien against the city of Huntington Beach. I then took my entire package, mainly the notary affidavit of non-response, which I had two notaries sign, my maritime lien, and my nihil deceit judgment, and I got them apostilled at the Secretary of State office in Los Angeles. What an apostille does, it basically just, it's a public record at that time, and it also guarantees the notary signature is valid, and it proves jurisdiction, mainly because you, as a secured party creditor, are considered a foreign national. So when you go and you register your apostille, and you're putting either Great Britain or what have you, you ultimately are saying, well, the bottom line is it's your desire to do business in that state or in that country. And so now you have these apostilles. I presented a cover page, and I wrote up a UCC, and I put all of this particular city's properties on the UCC as an addendum, listed out as APN numbers. I went down to the recorder's office with my UCC-1, my nihil deceit judgment, and my APNs, and they denied me my ability to record. They said
that's
I needed to have an action. What's that?
That's at the county, right?
Yeah, at the county recorder's office. They basically said I needed to have a judgment, and I said, okay. So after a lot of conversations with several people around the country who have had success doing what I'm about to tell you, I put a case file together that showed the service, showed the non-response, and basically stacked the file from beginning to end as you would see a normal case with the initial motion or lawsuit, and then the which had, in my case, was the administrative affidavit of specific negative averment. And created a complete case, and I went down and stood at the district court building and Ronald Reagan building in Santa Ana, and I met a nice gentleman there who
now that
was
state, I mean federal court, right?
It is federal court.
Okay.
And I stood in the line and went back and forth with this gentleman to get what's called a foreign judgment filed. You have to know what you're talking about to get it filed. And then they're going to then try to deny your ability to have it once you have it filed. When you go in there and file things, people say you need to fill this form out. And the fact is you do not. You can file things on demand into the miscellaneous records. Brings it into the public, and you get your receipt, and you get your certified stamped by the court's clerk seal, copies. I got four copies. And I went back and forth with this gentleman for 2 hours as to my rights to be able to do this. He would walk in the back and probably talk to a judge. Judge would try to point him down another road, and he'd come back out and tell me what I could or could not do. And I would then tell him, no, this is my right. Here's why. He then said, where is the judge's signature on your judgment? And I leaned over and I showed him the law in Admiralty that I am the judge and this is my court of record. He laughed at me. And I said, and he actually pushed the documents back at me. I turned the documents around. I pushed them back at him. And I said, I am the judge. And he laughed and he said, where is the signature of the clerk of the court? And I pointed to the notary's signature and I said, there it is. And he said, that's a notary. And I said, sir, that's an officer of the court. And before I laugh at you, I would take that information I just gave you and go back and talk to whoever you're talking to, because I am filing this on demand today. And he then took it back, and about 45 minutes later, he came out and said, okay, we're going to file it. So we got it filed. We then took the certified stamp copies, ran and got it in front of our computers, and we redid the UCC-1s to reflect the judgment. And we filed the judgment at the recorder's office in the County of Orange. Now, I'm going to tell you this right now. Tim will tell you this too. They will always try to trick you. One way or another, they tried to trick me in Santa Ana. They did not give me certified copies. I had to turn around. I said, I got stamp copies. Where's the seal? I noticed that there was no stamp seal. And so I went back, and he says, oh, you want certified copies? And I said, yes. So you got to pay attention to everything you're getting back from these people, because they're going to try to trick you. That is their job, is to lead you down the way that they want it to go down in the end, which is they win. So when I went down to the recorder's office, the recorder did not record the certified stamp of the court. Recorded all 150 pages, but not that one. And I ended up having to go back to the recorder's office and ask them to put that into the record of the recorder and give me two new certified stamp copies. I then took that and I sent it to the Secretary of State, which got denied as a judgment. Because they said it doesn't fall within California, and they gave me a California Penal Code. I'm like, of course it doesn't. It's in Admiralty. It wouldn't fall into California Penal Code. So I'm like, right at that stage where I'm just going to upload it and to the Secretary of State's website, I'll get it recorded. There's some nuances that you got to do. But I'm about 45 days, maybe 30 days from the actual foreclosure and collection of the properties that we have taken, and also the seizure of assets.
So now this is against the city of Huntington Beach?
Yes.
And you have a judgment against them, and it's a notice of foreign judgment that's filed in the public record at the federal courthouse in your miscellaneous file. Is that correct?
That's correct. All somebody has to do is go look up in PACER the city of Huntington Beach.
Okay. I got to tell you, you're not the first person I've seen that has a lien against the city of Huntington Beach.
Well, I'm probably the first person that filed a UCC-1 against all their property.
Okay. So they try to get you to fill out a cover sheet, I understand. And
yeah.
Is that change your jurisdiction if you agree with them and fill that thing out?
You know, it's interesting. Everybody says, you know, like right now, before Tim got involved in Restore America Plan, you never heard a negative thing about Tim Turner. Now that he's in it, you're hearing the most disgusting display of not only negativity, but just flat out lies. When you take a look at his process in its entirety, you understand that he's teaching you something that they've tried to hide for 30 years, 40 years, and that there's only, in the last 4 or 5 years, it's only been able to come about, and you're not going to cure a $5 billion lien in 45 or 90 days. And you can say that you're going to cure it, and that's the time period in which you're supposed to be able to cure it. But the, what does the word cure mean? Does that just mean that you now can go and collect? Well, these guys are holding the money, the guns, the police, and the intimidators, and the judges, and the clerk courts. And we are just sovereign people trying to collect. And so everybody that's being negative out there on these processes is generally somebody who's given up on what they've already started. Look, you are not going to come to a battle and win a battle like this. And when you decided to start an administrative affidavit of specific negative averment, you literally drew a battle line against whoever you went after. And you have to stay the course of the battle no matter what it takes and do a lot of investigating, because there are a lot of people that are having success with these negative averments. And it might mean just to settle a deal. It might mean anything, but it gives you a lot more power than you could ever imagine. Now, my personal opinion is the same as Jack Mazel's, which is don't go after the billions. And here's why. It doesn't matter whether you set it up to where it is actually a lawful billion-dollar judgment. It doesn't matter. If you have a large judgment against a corporation, the fact is that the judge's bond, the courtroom's bond, the court clerk's bond, the sheriff's bond, they can't handle serving a collection, a writ of execution on a judgment for those amounts of dollars, because their bond doesn't cover it. So if you're going after your car company because you believe that they've already been paid on the debt and you've got an administrative cured negative averment, change your lien amount. Just lien them for 3 times damages, because the judge will go, hey, wow, okay, I can do that, instead of saying this is a worthless piece of crap. And they will actually allow for you to do a writ of execution and follow up with the collection on a specific judgment of those lower amounts.
Okay, so you have the nihil de sit, which is for the full amount that you claimed in your process. And you, at what point do you reduce the amount of money you're claiming on the public record? When you file the UCC-1?
My personal opinion is to do it up front on the nihil de sit, on the defaults, on the fault, and default. And
okay.
And you can change it at any time. You know, obviously, just don't go after them for the full dollar amount.
Okay.
Don't go after them for the billions. Don't even go after them for the hundreds of millions. Look, if you're going after your lender for your house, the reality is what do you want? You want the house. That's the reality. You're not going to collect anything over and above your house. But if you lien on your house, and you record that lien in the county recorder's office, and they're trying to foreclose on you, and they have a lien sale, you have power. Because you call the lender, you call Lone Star Servicing, you call whomever is doing the sale, and say, I've got a valid lien, I've already proved it, I'm going to scream it out tomorrow when you try to sell my house, and they're going to go away. They're not going to, I do it every single time somebody says, I have a lien sale next week, I said, go and record a maritime lien against your house immediately, and follow it up with a specific affidavit of negative averment, get it to cure within the next 60 days, and re-record a new maritime lien. What the lien
does... Now,
that
lien is against the straw man myself, my own straw man, right?
That lien is against... I've heard of doing that. No, it's against the lender. And I've heard both. My personal opinion is lien against the property. They're not going to understand leaning against the straw man.
That makes sense. Okay.
But let's get real, and let's not go after these lenders for the hundreds of millions, and even though they deserve it, just go after them for your home. Get your home, be satisfied with your home, and move on in your life, and you won't have another house payment again. And that's really what this is about. That's what Tim Turner's teaching. You know, he probably I can't discuss anything with in reference to the New Republic, but, and I can't give you details as to what's going to happen, But I can tell you, I am personally excited about what the responsibilities of the Republic are going to be in bringing accountability to these banks. And we're going to covet your prayers, because in the next 6 months, it could very well be a different union. And these banks could very well be in a lot of trouble with the knowledge that we are bringing forth, because if they cannot prove up with original documentation showing that they have not been paid, it's done. They are toast. And we will bring that about. It's not going to happen overnight. And people, and that's one of the things that I'm on the phone call about, this is a time, this deception is 142 years old, okay? It is deep. They have every judge in their pocket. They have every clerk in their pocket. They have every cop and sheriff and process server and servicing company and bank. We are a group of a couple thousand people that are hungry, starving, losing our homes, and we're pulling together as one with one voice. And trust me, I'm going to tell you right now, they are absolutely scared. And if you don't think I'm serious, look at what they are doing right now on a negative disinformation standpoint, telling us that this whole process that we just did is not lawful. It is absolutely the people's rights, according to the Declaration of Independence, to do what we just did. And we
are you talking about disinformation campaigns on the news, on the television, or?
Mainly I'm talking to the people that are saying negative things about our ability as the people to do, to convene and be the fourth branch of government, as we are bringing an accountability to and bringing about and re-inhabiting the Republic. It is absolutely our right to do what we did.
Hey, Daniel, this is Ray.
Hi, Ray.
Hey, I hate to be rude and interrupt, but could I make a plea, please, for Kelby to come back? And could we please get some information? I have spoken to Donna, and I will probably see her this weekend. We have an absolute bear of a state here in Minnesota to deal with. This stuff, recording and all sorts of things, it's a nightmare. Kelby, I've been around this 3 years, and I've learned a huge amount tonight, and I'd like to thank you for your time and your expertise, and I would love to learn more. Trying to do this on five properties right now, and we need some help.
yeah, it's you're in a battlefield, and they've got the experts, quote unquote, on their side, the attorneys. There's just so many people that don't understand the level of what they're engaging themselves in, and this is a battle.
Yeah.
But if you do your job, you know, you got to understand something. When I walk into recorder's office, I walk in with eight guys. When I walk into district court, I walk in with six, seven, eight guys standing behind me. They call the marshals in when I come in. And it's a total peaceable thing. I say, hi, guys. How you doing? Oh, you're back. Okay. Because I try to help other people get foreign judgments and stuff. And I go, oh, here, I got another one. And they go, you know, they're just going to deny it. And I always look at them and I tell them, and you know, I'm not going to give you permission. And it's a fun game. You don't need to have an argument with these guys. They don't know what they're talking about. They've been trained. They've been trained on a lie. They don't know the truth. And when we have that objective thought process, we win. And so every time I'm there, I'm totally nice to them. I have had these marshals look at me and shake their head, and I look at them, I just smile. And I say, can we get this done? And, you know, I get 50% success. I get 80% success. It depends on the day. I get shot down at the recorder's office a lot. But it's a battle. The more people that you have, the more of – and I just tell them, look, here's an affidavit. There's another affidavit. And there's another affidavit. And you know what their affidavits are? That you committed a criminal offense. Are you willing? And then they stop. They go to the back and get the supervisor. So now you're dealing with the supervisor. And you do the same thing with them. Sometimes you might be there for a couple hours. Sometimes you might have cops walk in behind you. There's nothing to be afraid of. Stand up. Stand up. Yeah, I'm 6'4 and I weigh 280 pounds, but I'm never disrespectful. I'm never calling people names. I'm always smiling. You get a lot more bees with honey. You know what I mean? You got to be respectful to people.
Yeah.
Especially in court. Especially in court. Got to be respectful. You have no idea how many times I go into court and the judge will say, you need to come up to the podium if you want me to hear your case. And I'll be all, well, if you need me to speak up, I'd be more than happy to speak up from the udder of the court, but I am not coming into the ends of court. And then they go, oh, this guy understands. It's all about jurisdiction. It really is. It's all about jurisdiction. And you have to know who you are. And you got to go to a bunch of seminars. You got to get a bunch of different opinions. Tim isn't the end all. I'm going to tell you that right now. I've learned a lot from a lot of different people. Brandon Adams. I have a major friend in Chicago I've learned a lot from. You know, a lot of people that I have a lot of respect for. And you got to take all that ammo and you got to build your own case. And you got to come at it with guns a-blazing. And it's funny. I walked in and it was checkmate because I played the game back and forth on my campaign against trying to record against 672 or 78 properties. I walked in and I had the checkmate piece and I handed it to the guy. So I was here yesterday. Remember, he's like, yeah. You told me I needed to have a judgment. Yeah, I got a judgment. And you have to understand the whole recorder's office was quiet. Every guy behind me was quiet. And it was looking at each other, and I looked at him, and I go, you know what you're going to do. And he looked at me, and he looked down, he looked back up at me, looked around. And then they tried to trick me again by not recording the seal into the court of record. They just tried to record whether that would have made a difference or not, I don't know. But you got to watch what they're doing. So it's a big game. But when I walk into the recorder's office, I'm talking to people I have leaned on that I've sent the Hill judgment against, Tom Daley, Harry Nielsen, all these people I've leaned on. So when I walk in there with six guys, they give me a different respect than they give you or somebody that hasn't gone after the recorder's office. Mm. And I have not filed my lien with the recorder's office. I just show them through other liens that I'm doing what I could do to them. And it gives me the power in that recorder's office.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you.
I can take a couple more calls.
Okay. Checkmate, you got your hand up again.
Hi, Kelby. It's Donna again. I just had one follow-up as you were talking. When I go to the recorder's office, they will say, okay, just leave it here and we'll check to see what we can do.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What would
I do in that case? What are you trying to record?
Well, let's say I got my maritime lien and my federal judgment.
Right.
And I'm trying to record it on my property to foreclose on the properties.
Yeah, again, it goes back to your stance, your posture,
okay.
Who you are, what you know when you're trying to do things. For example, when I knew who I was, when I knew the law, when I studied the maxims of law of admiralty, when I've studied these things, and I'm standing before these people, you ultimately end up with the highest level person right under the recorder himself or herself, and you end up with a stance. You're standing there, and they say, leave this, and you're like, no, I'm here to record this. Well, this is how we do it. You say, and it's always a game of what you know, because I'm in there. You got to remember something. I'm in there with six or seven guys. It is straight up. Every one of them are at the counter listening in. Every one of them have at least half of them have a notepad, and they have seen the affidavit of criminal complaints that I write out on them. I have gone to the audit controller's office. I say, who's your boss? And they tell me it's upstairs on the third floor. I've gone up there, and I said, I need to file a complaint. And they say, well, there is no place to file a complaint against a government official. And I say, let me get this right. You're trying to tell me that I cannot file a complaint against a recorder for breaking Title 18, the law? And they say, well, we're only here to follow state law. And I said, really? You don't have to follow federal law? And they stop, and they look at you, and they say, well, we don't want to discuss that, but we go adhere to the state law. And I say, okay, well, where's the complaint office? We don't have one. How do I file a complaint? Well, you can do it with me. You don't have a form. You don't have a form I can file a complaint on. And you start digging, and they start sweating. I've been brought through buildings with four or five guys, and I go into a conference room with two or three other guys, and they mock you, and you basically, instead of mocking them back, you turn their ignorance into making them feel ignorant. And that's how you win, is you basically say, look, I don't need to explain this process to you. What I need you to understand is we have a judgment, and we are trying to record it, or we are trying to record this lien, or we are trying to, and this is your job. Here is the law that you are breaking if you don't do it. Now, if you don't think for a second I go to a federal district court judge and tell him you're breaking the law, you don't think for a second you're going to be in trouble, and you start the reverse threat. And it's not really a threat, it's the truth.
So when I am there with, let's say, 6-7 people, and they tell me I'll take your paperwork, but I'll let you know in the future, does that take away some of the power of all the witnesses?
No. You hand them a copy of their oath. You hand them a copy of Title 18 showing them the statutes that they are breaking by concealing information from the public. You say, these are six people that are standing behind me willing to write criminal affidavits that you broke Title 18. Are you sure that you are not going to record this document right now? Because I have just made you aware that you are breaking Title 18. A federal law for concealing something from the public. And they go, hold on one sec.
Okay.
And you might win, you might not. You might win, though. And if you win, then you're one up from the guy next to you.
Mm-hmm.
But how I had to do it personally is I wrote a negative averment against the Orange County Recorder's Office. You know what those ninnies did? They actually sent it back to me and said, on my specific affidavit of negative averment, on my default, and on my nihil deceit judgment. You know what they actually did? They actually sent it back to me. This is not a recordable document. They gave me proof that they got delivered. So
they don't get it, do they?
They don't get it. And that's the thing that you have to forgive them on. They're a bunch of numbskull rods. They don't know what they're doing.
I told the recorder that they were not to file anything for me, the judge, in the case that I have an averment against her and the whole system. And so then they went to the county recorder and said, okay, you can't file anything. The judge said so.
Wow. Wow. So the judge is included on concealing information from the public.
I'm 3 averments for concealment.
Okay, just remember something. When you go after a judge, you got to know what you're doing.
Because
a judge can write a warrant. A judge can issue a warrant. And a judge has powers over the marshals. And the marshals will come after you. And I have friends that have gone through a lot of intimidation routines with judges. I have friends that have gone into the hole for 7 days. I have friends that have gone through a lot of crap. What Tim says makes a lot of sense. We will get these judges that are breaking the law. We will get them. It's not going to be in the form that you like. It's going to it'll be down the road. And that's just the way that it is. They have a lot of autonomy. They have a lot of power, and a lot of people think that they are the end all. In your court of record, you're the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And one day you're going to learn how to write an order, how to write a warrant. One day you're going to learn, and that's what all these grand juries are with the Restore America plan, now Republic of the United States. That's what they are doing. They're being trained up to deal with these matters in which you're speaking of. And that's about all I can say about that. There's a gag order right now on the Republic for the next 3 weeks.
The tables will turn. We can wait.
The tables in this world will turn. The deception of the evil corporation is now fully known.
Uh-huh.
And it will get out. It will get out. They are absolutely scared to death about what's about to happen.
As they should be.
As they should be. That's
correct. Thank you, Kelby.
Thank you.